If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, the New Living Translation. And this actually is part two of the David and Goliath message. Part one was 2 weeks ago when I ministered, and we're on part two. I do want to say this once again, and sometimes you have to reiterate this for the modern day generation. This is a historical account of something that actually happened. You know, sometimes your younger folks, they kind of get fairy tales and Bible stories kind of mixed up. Just because it, everyone lives happily ever after doesn't mean, it's a fairy tale. This was an actual true story. And I point that out because I've actually heard, even one time, my own kids, when they were younger, said, well, did that really happen? Of course it really happened. That's why it's in the Bible. It really took place. And so, most of you know the story about David and Goliath. We talked about last time, how Goliath was actually over 9 feet tall, which is a foot and a half taller than any NBA player that's ever played the game. He could basically stand under the basket and dunk the ball. I mean, think about that, how awesome that would be. I guess it'd be pretty actually boring to play basketball if you were Goliath. It talks about that he actually had body armor that weighed 125 pounds. I mean, think about carrying 125 extra pounds on your body at all times. I mean, that's amazing. Your body's actually able to carry that. And, that's how much the body armor weighed. They didn't have lightweight titanium stuff back then. It said he had a big spear the size of a weaver's beam, whatever that might be. But, the point I like to make is the head of the spear weighed 15 pounds. So you think about that. I mean, you think about the biggest, heaviest bowling ball. That's what it was like. It was like a pointed bowling ball. And think about getting hit with a pointed bowling ball in your head. I don't care if you get hit with an 8-pound ball. That still would hurt. Goliath was big. He was bad. And he was ugly. And so I'm not sure if he was ugly or not. I mean, I kind of made that up. You think about that. But he was a big guy. He wasn't just like some of the guys in the NBA, they're tall, but they're skinny. But Goliath was a massive man. Not only that, he had a guy that actually carried a shield, which I'm assuming that the shield was probably bigger than the guy. And I don't know how you get that job. I mean, probably, he probably was, being the most unlucky person in the army. Oh, yeah, you got to be the shield carrier. But I guess, well, I'm not sure. I guess when you hold the shield, you have to hold it up. So, if you're holding it up, he's probably being exposed. So, I can't hit Goliath, but I can hit the shield bearer. That's anyway, so he would come out and he would shout to the armies of Israel, said every morning and every night, telling them to pick a man and let's go mano a mano, man on man. If I win, then you guys will be the slaves of the Philistines. If you win, then we'll be your slaves. And that says, the Israelites were afraid whenever they heard the guy speak. I mean, I guess. And he was there taunting the Israelites every day. And according to verse number 16 of 1 Samuel 17, it says, for 40 days every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israel army. So, I mean, think about this. I mean, it had to be pretty annoying, if nothing else. I mean, for 40 days, if someone's shouting something to you, I mean, that's annoying anyway. But evidently, the Israelites, every time that he would get there, they would all get afraid. They're like, have you seen this giant, how big he is, and things like that. Anyway, so let's get down to verse 26. And David was there. Now, this is King David. I get this, but you have to understand this is 17-year-old King David. This isn't King David that slayed the 10,000s. This is 17-year-old David, the kid that watches the sheep. All right? And sometimes that we think about that, I know many times whenever I'm talking about faith, and I talk about my grandfather, and many people, when you think about, my grandfather, many people call him Brother Hagin, they think about an 85-year-old Brother Hagin or a 60-year-old Brother Hagin, but whenever he got a hold of the faith message, he was a 16-year-old Brother Hagin that had never even read the Bible. I'm trying to tell you, this is a 17-year-old, this was King David, but he wasn't King David yet. He was just a 17-year-old kid, you know, that tend the sheep. And so his dad had sent him there to the front lines to give some bread to his brothers and the other people and also find out what's going on so he can kind of give a report back and tell his dad, you know, how things are going. So as he was there, Goliath came out, you know, his normal chant. Everyone was afraid. And so I want to start off today with verse 26. It says, "And David asked the soldier standing nearby, 'What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel?'" And this is where I want to point out, and we kind of harped on this 2 weeks ago. He says, "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" See, the thing is that David understood who he was. He understood who his family was. He understood that the Israelites were God's chosen people. And he understood whenever that Philistine came out, when Goliath came out, he wasn't coming against, you know, that army. He was coming against God. And we now, you know, from the New Testament perspective, we now know who we are in Christ Jesus. And the thing about it is, when our Goliath comes at us, we have to understand whose family we're a part of. We're a part of the family of God. And when God, you know, when somebody messes with the family, they mess with the whole family. You know, have you ever heard the thing, if mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy? You know, you mess with the whole family. Now, brothers might fight each other, but, you know, if you come against, you know, one of them, you come against the whole family. And so when the devil or anything else comes against you, he's coming against the whole family. And we need to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that we are part of God's family. You know, and I always say this, we have to develop a we mentality, not an I mentality. See, because the devil's attacking we, us. Us, you know, me and Jesus. Jesus says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. If we have been born again, the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us. And anything that we face, Jesus is with us at all times, 24/7, 365. If it happens to be leap year, 366 days that year. I mean, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that's what we kind of talked about last time, is knowing that whose family we're a part of. Because if you know that you're a part of God's family, that when the devil is attacking you, when you have this Goliath of a problem in front of you, it's really not just your problem, it's the family's problem. And that, you know, if we put our faith in God we trust, like it says on our money here in the United States, then what are we so upset about? The Bible says, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? Or what my good friend Todd White likes to say, if God be for you, does it really matter who's against you? And the thing about it, you have to understand that God is on your side. In fact, sometimes we even sing that song, God is on our side. But you know what? You don't think about that song when you have the Goliath of a problem that you're facing. But you have to remember, God's always on your side. God's always with you at all times. Anyway, so after some of these soldiers heard, you know, David, not King David, but little kid, 17-year-old David, you know, saying what he did, they took him in front of King Saul and said, we found the guy. You know, they've been waiting for 40 days to find a guy. And so they found their guy. So here we are in verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17, New Living Translation says this, David's telling King Saul, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." Saul's response, "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." Basically, he said, you know, you understand, David, that this guy's been fighting battles as long as you are old? I mean, plus, I mean, you look at you. I mean, David was somewhere around 5'10", they say. And, I mean, Goliath is 9'3", or whatever he is. So over 9 feet. I don't know exactly but I mean, you know, there's a big difference in size. You know, but see, David understood that he wasn't going out to fight Goliath. He was going out as a representation of God and the army of Israel. He understood who he was. But I like this in verse number 34, when David came back at Saul after Saul said, "There's no way you can do this." David said, "Saul, let me tell you about my testimony." It's always good to have a testimony. And see, because of our testimony, we can understand that we can win this battle because of what God's done for us in our past. Now, David's testimony goes like this. But David persisted, verse 34, "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, when a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God." Now let's just back up here for a minute. Okay, do you understand if we're living here in 2019, if there's some kid out with his sheep and gets attacked by a lion or a bear, and he kills a lion or a bear, I mean, we're talking about front page news. We're talking about every news camera in America. It's going to be on your blog, on Facebook. It's kind of a big deal. Lions and bears are kind of big deals. How many of you have ever gone to the zoo and saw a lion and a bear and said, "You know what, I'm going to hop over there. I know the lion and bear's eating right now, but I'm going to pull the food away and, just because I can." I'm sure not. Maybe there's a few crazy people, here. Maybe you're online. You're not even watching us here. Maybe you're at the zoo right now. I don't know. Maybe you feel like you're at the zoo because your kids are running around screaming. I don't know. Been there a couple times myself. But also listen. His testimony was, if a lion or a bear takes my lamb, I go pull it out of its mouth, and if it tries to go after me, then I kill it. But I guess if it doesn't go after me, he just walks away with a lion and a bear. Now, how many of you have a dog at home? Anyway, I don't care if it's a Chihuahua or a German Shepherd or whatever. Most of us, if you drop food on the ground, you're not going to go after it because it's gonna bite you. It doesn't matter what kind of dog it is. Or if you give a dog a bone, he try to pull the bone, it's going to start growling at you. You understand this lion and bear, they have watched the movie The Lion King. They know it's a circle of life and all that kind of stuff. And, the more dominant species wins. They're just being natural. They're not trying to be mean. They're just trying to eat. And so, but David goes over there and says, "I'm going to pull the lion and bear out of his mouth, and if it actually attacks me, I'm going to club it to death. Like, no big deal." Has any of you tried that before? We're not talking about pull out a gun and shoot it to death. We're not even talking about stabbing it with a knife. We're talking about taking a club and beating the fire out of it. Do you realize if you're close enough to hit something with the club, they're close enough to also attack back? But, the thing is that David also gives glory to God for keeping him safe from the lion and the bear. Now, this is the first time, 2 weeks ago, I actually noticed this, and maybe because I never really kind of read it from the New Living Translation. But I want to read this again. David says, "I have done this to both lions," plural, "and bears," plural. Not just one lion, not just one bear, but a number of times. That's kind of a big deal. A number of times. But every time he was successful, and he gives credit to his God for giving him the strength. Now, we have a scripture for that. You know, David didn't because he was in the Old Testament, but we have Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He believed that scripture. And he believed, you know what, if this lion or bear is coming against my sheep, I can attack it and I can kill it. Now, here's what I also started thinking about. You know, many people, you know, I've seen TV shows and seen, you know, lions and, I mean, I've seen, you know, sheeps and sheep herders and things like that. They seem to be more interested in the foxes and the coyotes. Those tend to gang up on sheep, so... You know, but those weren't even mentioned here. I guarantee you there was more foxes and coyotes that came by than lions or bears. But that wasn't that big a deal. You know, so what? Just a couple of foxes or a couple of coyotes. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be messing around with coyotes or foxes or anything. I mean, you know, most of you probably like, bye-bye, lamb. Sorry about that. Thank God I have 55 more of you. I'll make that 54. I mean, just be honest. I mean, most of us probably doesn't, you know, wouldn't even think about going after the lion or the bear. You know, it's a maybe on the coyotes, depending on how many coyotes, because you know, these guys come in packs. I mean, they're not just one. You know, they kind of gang up there, and you know, but there's only one of you. And so the point is David was trying to tell Saul, it doesn't matter, you know, what it is. God's allowed me to destroy all of those. And that's why we have to understand, you know what, it doesn't matter, you know, just remember what God's done for you in the past. The same God that's healed you from a cold can heal you from cancer. I mean, let's think about a financial situation. So let's think about what we might call a coyote or a fox type thing. You know, maybe that's $25. You know, maybe the lion and bear, you know, that's a couple hundred dollars. And, you know, no, sorry, lion and bear are probably like $10,000, you know. I don't know. You know, maybe it's a couple hundred, maybe it's a thousand, but maybe Goliath would be a $10,000. It doesn't really matter. What it matters is, you know what? If you can believe God for $10, you can believe God for $1 million. It's the same faith. In fact, the Bible actually says if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that you can move a mountain, which is pretty impossible. Do you realize it's just probably, you know, killing a lion and bear is easier than moving a mountain, and all you got to do is have a little bit of faith. The point is you know what? I mean, you know, don't neglect your lions and bears. I mean, when things happen, anyway, you know, sometimes things happen. It's okay. Amen. You know, sometimes things happen. And, you know, when they do, you know what? Every win, understand, you know what? I can defeat this just like I defeated something else. And it's not you defeating, it's you and God. You're not by yourself. You have to understand who's on the inside of you. You know, and I love it. You know, he says... Right here, verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Understand the same God that helped you get $25 or $5 or $10 is the same God that's going to help you with that $25,000 debt that you owe. Or the same God, you know, that healed you from that cold will take care of your cancer. Or whatever it might be. God never changes. That's why, you know, never neglect a testimony. You know what? Sometimes think, well, yeah, but that was just a lion and a bear. Well, a lion and a bear is kind of a big deal. Yeah, but this is Goliath. You know, see, the thing about it is we're looking at our problem and not our God. Because we sing so many songs about our God is bigger, our God is greater, our God is stronger. Well, if we really believe that, then you don't really have a Goliath of a problem. You have a Goliath of a God. You have a big God. And you understand, the capacity for our God. I mean, the one who can answer 7 billion plus prayers. All at the same time. I mean, technology is pretty awesome now. I mean, I think my I don't know because I've never really tested it. I think my video recorder or whatever it is now will record 3 programs at one time. But 3 programs, that's a lot. But God will laugh at that. 3 programs, that's 3 people. I mean, no big deal. There's 7 billion people in the world. If God can answer 7 billion prayers, he's still concerned about you too. And the thing about you have to know your God. You have to know that your God is able. Not that you're able, but your God is able. And that your God can use you. And I understand some people say, well, yeah, but this is King David. No, it wasn't. It was 17-year-old kid David. He wasn't King David yet. Yeah, but that was his destiny. Well, not if he gets killed by Goliath. I mean, not if he gets killed by a lion and a bear. But here's the thing I'm going to tell you, is you have a destiny too. But you'll never reach that destiny if you let the lions, the bears, the coyotes, the foxes, or the Goliaths take you down. Because your God is greater than any of those things. It doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter how big your problem looks. Your God is still in control. And I know we hear what we call childlike faith is because our kids still, they still just sing the song, he has the whole world in his hands. I mean, as adults, we think, man, he must have dropped part of the world by now. No, he hasn't dropped anybody. God's still in control. And I know sometimes you feel like you live in an out of control world, but God is still in control. So let's go on because our time is short. It says, then Saul gave David his own armor. Now you have to understand that Saul was a tall man. I mean, he was over 6 feet tall at least. And it says he gave him his own armor, a bronze helmet, a coat of mail. Not your junk mail, it's body armor. I'm sure his body armor didn't weigh 125 pounds though, but I'm sure it was heavy, especially for a 17-year-old kid. I mean, I kind of imagine, probably 17-year-old, pretty skinny kid. It says, David put it on, so he tried the armor on. He strapped a sword over it and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. And he says, I can't go in these. He protested to Saul, I'm not used to him. He's like, I can't battle anything in this. I mean, I can't move around. This is not my stuff. I don't know how to use your stuff. I understand it. This is better protection for me, but I don't know how to use it. Sometimes we go around looking for somebody else's stuff. Well, maybe someone has a good book. Maybe someone has, God can use your stuff. God can use you. He doesn't need to add to you. He doesn't need to give you more stuff. He can use what you got. The knowledge you had. I mean, my grandfather had basically no knowledge about faith and healing until he read Mark 11, 23 and 24. I mean, I guess he already had read Mark, chapter 5, so maybe he had a little bit of knowledge, but the only knowledge that he had was whatever he read from Matthew and Mark up to 11. He said he'd been to church a few times. He would go to church, at least every Easter and Christmas, but he doesn't really remember the pastor ever preaching about healing because he was just preaching about Easter and Christmas messages. He didn't really go to church much. He said he went to Sunday school classes a few more times than that because his aunt needed one more person to come to Sunday school, but his aunt never actually went to real church. She would leave after Sunday school. But anyway, he didn't really know anything. But he read the Bible. I always say, well, you know, what if more people would read the Bible? And I think because he didn't know anything, he actually believed it. Sometimes we know too much and we don't believe. But see, David was like, you know, you've came too late. I mean, you know, I've already battled the lions and the bears and the coyotes and the wolves. And, you know, I know my God is going to deliver me. And I don't need your armor. So he goes on, he says, so David took them off. So what did he do? He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff, a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. 5 stones. 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, I mean, you know, I probably would have picked up more than 5. You know, I've heard of people, you know, some of these modern day guns are like, you know what, that only holds 6 bullets. You know, they want to get one that holds more, but the more they hold, the heavier they are. You know, but David only took 5 stones to go after a 9-foot, battle-tested, warrior. 5 stones. Think about that. All right, so here we are, verse 41. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. He says, am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his God. Come over here and I'll give you your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. So here's what David replied. See, that's something that hasn't happened in 40 days. Nobody's been replying. You know, I often talk to the devil. When he comes at me, I come back at him. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Tell him that he can't. I said, Mr. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority in the name of Jesus. See, I know my right. I know my authority. You know, I mean, you know, even when Jesus was tempted, he would come back with the word. He would say, for it is written. I mean, you know, I come back with the word. What does the Bible say? You know, but for 40 days, no one's ever came back at him. You know, but David, verse number 45, David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. I mean, he says, you know, I'm not coming in my own natural strength. I'm coming as a servant of the Lord who you've tried to defile. See, he knew who his family was. He knew who he represented. He was a representation of God's army. He had no body armor. He didn't have armor on, you know, or Under Armour. He didn't have anything. He just ran out there with 5 stones and a sling. All right, but he said, see, you're not coming at me, you're coming at God. So he goes on to say, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you and cut your head off. So he said, he didn't say, I'm going to conquer you. He said, the Lord will conquer you. But I'm going to be the one that kills you. But the Lord's going to be the one that conquers. Yeah. See, you have to understand, the Lord is fighting your battle for you. It's the Lord that's going to conquer your battle. Ultimately, everyone's going to say, well, you won. You know, many people, you know, I've seen people, you know, say, well, I'm cancer free. Yeah, you're cancer free, but because the Lord won your battle for you. The Lord wins it on your behalf, you know, but you know, in the situation he said, you know, the Lord's going to use me. Anyway, it says today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead body of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Understand that any time that you fight a battle, it's the Lord's battle. You know, you have to give your issues to the Lord. Give, you know, cast your cares upon the Lord. Say, you know what, God? This is my stuff I'm dealing with. You take care of it for me. You know, like it says in Proverbs 3, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I mean, you know, he'll help you get through it. We have to understand, we have to just trust in him. Let him be our God. Anyway, so verse 48, as Goliath moved closer to attack David, it says David quickly ran out to meet him. I mean, he wasn't standing back. David took off. I mean, you understand, this is the guy that had the sword that was like, you know, I mean, think about getting hit with a bowling ball sword. I mean, his javelin. I mean, that's, anyway, reaching into a shepherd's bag and taking out a stone. I think I would have took out 3 stones, but that's just kind of me. I guess David figured, I'm only going to need one. I got 5, but I only need one. And maybe I think, you know what, I won't have time to pull out a second one anyway, so, you know. But he took 1 stone out. But, you know, that's all he needed was 1 stone. He said, recently separated, had taken out a stone. He hurled it with a sling. And I'm going to tell you, not a slingshot, it's a sling. And there's a difference. I got one of those slings that David supposedly used. I gathered my stones. Couldn't find any really smooth stones in my backyard. They were kind of pointy. And I hit my head like 3 times with these stones trying to go like that. Didn't work. I figured, I wasn't used to that. So I asked my mom if I could go to the store and get a slingshot because I already set my targets up and everything. And I wanted to, you know, use. So I went to the store, I got a slingshot, and it worked a whole lot better. So I took my sling, you know, my Israel sling that I got from Israel and put it in my closet somewhere. I have never seen it since 1976. Probably still in that closet, you know. We probably left it there. I don't know. Anyway, but I lost my place here. Anyway, reaching into a shepherd bag, taking out his stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. Basically, David hit Goliath at pretty much the only place he could, you know, like right here. But, you know, but here's the thing: when David let that stone at Goliath, you know, God was guiding the stone. Let God start guiding your stone too. Let God guide your stone. See, you're so worried about, well, I don't know how it's going to work. Well, you quit guiding. It's okay not to know how, because it says not lean into your own understanding. You don't have to understand how. I'm sure David did not understand how he was going to take down, you know, this man with a stone. But he wasn't worried about that because he was coming with his God. He was coming with his God. But every time the devil comes against you, you have the same God. The God that was with David is the same God that's with you. He never changes. It's the same power. It's the same God. And if you only have a stone, that's all you need. You don't need a gun. God can use whatever you have to get whatever you desire. You know, and so anyway, it said, so David triumphed over the Philistine, verse 50, with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath, and David used it to kill him and cut off his head. Now, understand, that probably was a big task. I mean, you know, I'm sure that sword was heavy. The great thing about it, all you gotta do is get over top of his head and just let it go, because it's gonna chop, you know. Have you ever seen a paper cutter? Kind of the same thing, you know. Anyway, it says, when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Now, think about that. They turned around. I mean, all they had was a kid with 4 more stones. I mean, I'm sure there was other warriors. in the camp. But see, everybody understood that that was a miracle. But I want you to understand that the miracle working God that was there that day is still the miracle working God that's working today. And whenever you're facing whatever you think your Goliath might be, you have the same God. And I don't care if all you have is a couple of stones. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't really matter who you are. What matters is who you are in Christ Jesus. What matters is that you're part of God's family. And what matters is when the devil comes against you, you know what to do. Amen. Lean not to your own understanding. Just trust God. You have issues, you have problems. We all have issues and we all have problems. Let God know what our issues and problems are. Turn them over to God. Trust in Him. Lean on Him. Let God be the one that fights the battle. And you can't tell me He can't fight your battle because He fought David's battle. Not only did He fight David's battle that one day against Goliath, but against the lions, against the bears, against the coyotes, against the foxes, and whatever else came. Rattlesnakes, king cobras, I don't know what else. What, I'm sure he had a lot of things that he had to, deal with. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who comes against you. It doesn't matter who it is because we know who's for you. We know who's with you. But you have to know this. And not, you don't have to, it's one thing to know this when you're sitting in an auditorium and everybody's all excited. Another thing to know it when you're sitting at home or you're sitting in the doctor's office and you're sitting in a home and you open up the bills and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I understand, that's your natural, thought. What am I going to do? But as soon as you say that, something should come up on the inside of you. Remember about David. Remember about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember about Daniel. Remember about all these people. I mean, think about Lazarus. He was dead. And he came hopping on out. Just remember who your God is. But you got to remember that when I'm not around or nobody else is around. See, you got to know who you are. And I get it. Sometimes for a second you might be taken back. And that's okay to let natural emotion come in. But as soon as natural emotion comes in, let God come out. Reach down on the inside. And see, the only way to do that is know the Bible. Know what the Word says. And, I thank God for my heritage. I thank God that I learned from a young age, scripture after scripture after scripture. But I know what to do. But just like all of us, sometimes for a second we're taken back. Sometimes we're taken back for longer than a second. But you know what? Just remember. And I know a lot of times, I'm sure you've heard the story about David and Goliath many times in your life, but sometimes, what happens is we hear stories, we cackle about them. Praise God, that was awesome. But we don't think about how it's relevant in our life. What's relevant is, when we have our Goliath, whenever we have our things coming against us, we can understand that we also have our God. And our God is the same God, the God that never changes. And there's nothing impossible when you have God. The things that are impossible to men are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. Those are all scriptures. And I don't know how many times I've heard my grandfather tell me, what does the Word say? The Word says that all things are possible. Then you cannot tell me that nothing is possible. You can't say, like Saul told David, well, you can't do this. No, there's nothing you cannot do. Because it's not about you doing it. It's about you trusting your God. And when you trust your God, you can run at it head on and say, you might look like a Goliath to everybody else. But praise God, let's look through God's perspective. He doesn't think it's a big deal. You're really no big deal. Your problems are no big deal because your God is a big deal. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here and each and every person watching us online. But Father God, we just thank you that you'll help each and every one of us remember this message. Whenever we're facing our Goliaths, or whenever we're even facing our lions or bears or coyotes or whatever it might be, help us to remember that we have that same God on the inside of us that's with us at all times. And Father God, help us to know that there's nothing that's too big for our God. Help us to know that there's no problem too big for God. There's no situation that we can ever encounter that's too big for our God. So help us to be able to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Help us to understand that our God is with us. Father, we just thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you're here for the first time, we're glad to have you tonight. We have the connection team there. They have a gift for you. They'll take you out and give you that gift. We're glad to have you. Like I said, my dad, the pastor, he's actually gone tonight. He's in Waco, Texas. He'll be back here on Sunday. But if you're here for the first time, we invite you to come back here Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., Sunday nights, 6 p.m., Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. The way we do things on Wednesday night, if you need salvation, you need an infilling of the Holy Spirit, you need healing, whatever you might need, pray. If you need prayer for anything, then we have some men and some women here to pray with you. And the way we do it is, if you're a woman, you go over here to the women. If you're a man, you go over there. I know sometimes some of the men want to go there, but no, you know, go to whatever sex you are. If you don't know what you are, we have ushers there to help, you know, glean and figure out what you are, and they'll help direct you to that right place. And, you know, in today's environment, we have to say that, so it helps some people out. Amen. Turn around, shake hands with somebody, said, you know what? I'm ready to face my Goliath. And you're dismissed. We'll see you on Sunday.